1 Kings chapter 22, we're going to read verses 51 to 53, and then we're going to read into 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. Listen, this is God's word. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel and Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years over Israel. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. For he served Baal, and worshipped him, and provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger, according to all that his father had done. And then into 2 Kings chapter 1, Moab rebelled against Israel after the death of Ahab. Now Ahaziah fell through the lattice off his upper room in Samaria and was injured. So he sent messengers and said to them, "Go, inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, whether I shall recover from this injury." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Arise, go up to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and say to them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron?' Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, 'You shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.'" So Elijah departed. And when the messengers returned to him, he said to them, "Why have you come back?" And so they said to him, "A man came up to meet us and said to us, 'Go, return to the king who sent you, and say to him, thus says the Lord, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' Then he said to them, 'What kind of man was it who came up to meet you and told you these words?' And so they answered him, 'A hairy man wearing a leather belt around his waist.' And he said, 'It is Elijah the Tishbite.' Then the king sent to him a captain of 50 with his 50 men. And so he went up to him, and there he was sitting on top of a hill. And he spoke to him, 'Man of God, the king has said, come down.' So Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, 'If I am a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' And fire came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Then he sent to him another captain of 50 with his 50 men. And he answered and said to him, 'Man of God, thus has the king said, come down quickly.' So Elijah answered and said to them, 'If I am a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' And the fire of God came from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Again, he sent a third captain of 50 with his 50 men. And the third captain of 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah and pleaded with him and said to him, 'Man of God, please let my life and the life of these 50 servants of yours be precious in your sight. Look, fire has come down from heaven and burned up the first two captains of 50 with their 50s. But let my life now be precious in your sight.' And the angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him. Do not be afraid of him.' So he arose and went down with him to the king. Then he said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, because you have sent messengers to inquire of Beelzebub, the god of Ekron, is it because there is no God in Israel to inquire of his word? Therefore you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die.' So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah has spoken. Because he had no son, Jehoram became king in his place, in the second year of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Now the rest of the acts of Ahaziah, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel?" Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. Now, in an emergency, who do you call? In the US, the emergency number is 911. But in other parts of the world, it's a different number. In the UK, it's 999. And in Europe, it's 112. And so it's important to know the right number to get the necessary help. And when you call those numbers, you will be asked, what emergency service do you require? Is it the fire, is it ambulance, or is it the police? Well, sadly, this number gets misused. People call it when they are not in a legitimate emergency. Take one example, a 10-year-old from Massachusetts who called 911 and then abruptly hung up. And when the dispatcher called back, she discovered the problem. Much to the boy's annoyance, his mother was insisting that he go to bed. Well, in our passage today, we see someone else making an emergency call or trying to make an emergency call. The difference compared to the hoax call is that this is a real medical emergency. But we see he was calling the wrong number. Who do you call on when you are in trouble? When you need help? When you need rescued? Do you ever call the wrong person? Well, today I want us to see in our passage that in times of trouble, you are to call upon God. And so firstly, let us notice it's important that you learn from your parents' mistakes. And we'll see that in verses 51 to 53 of 1 Kings chapter 22, was it? George Santayana said, those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. While another George Hegel, who was more pessimistic, said, we learn from history that we learn nothing from history. Well, I guess both are true when it comes to King Ahaziah. He did not learn from history, and in particular, the mistakes of his parents. And so he repeated them. Ahaziah was the son of King Ahab. Ahab is described in 1 Kings 21, 25 in this way. There was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up and he behaved very abominably in following idols. Ahaziah's dad is known for doing more evil in the sight of God than any other king in Israel. And Ahaziah would have had a front row seat to all the wickedness of his father Ahab. Ahaziah would have been aware of all the events of his father's reign. He would have known about his father's encounters with Elijah. And we see Elijah made an impact on Ahaziah too, when he readily identifies him. He would have been aware of the drought that had crippled the country. He would have been aware of the events up on Mount Carmel when 850 prophets of Baal were killed. Remember, these prophets, they sat at the queen's table, probably with Ahaziah, and now they're gone. And then there was the episode with Naboth and his vineyard and his father wearing sackcloth as a result of his guilt over what he had done. And he also saw the fulfillment of prophecy in the way that his parents died. The dogs of Jezreel had licked up the blood of his father and had torn his mother into pieces, so there wasn't even a body left to bury. God judged his parents for the wrong that they had done. But unfortunately, Ahaziah followed in the way of his parents. He served Baal, and so he provoked the Lord to anger. We're not told why Ahaziah did this when it brought so much destruction to his parents. But we see many people, out of loyalty to those they love, refuse to call them out for the wrong they have done. They even condone it or encourage it. And this is foolish. We're not to follow in the mistakes of our parents or those whom we love. And that's a challenge here for the young people, that we don't have to make all the foolish mistakes of our parents. There is a temptation to want to have a Damascus Road experience testimony, to have the opportunity to be wild and then come back to God. That's foolish thinking. And sometimes people who give their testimony, they glory in details that really shouldn't be mentioned. No, young people, count it as a privilege to grow up in a Christian home with loving parents who have shared the gospel with you. For parents who have helped you to live in a way that brings honor to God. And as a result, you're not living with the consequences of foolish mistakes. And parents and all who are involved with children, remember, you're setting an example to your children. Isaiah is a warning to you. Your children are watching you and learning from you. And if you minimize your sin, so will your children minimize that sin in their lives. They may even adore that sin out of respect for you. So we're not to make the same mistakes as our parents. Secondly, notice in suffering, who you first call out to, that reveals your loyalties. So who you first call out to in your suffering, that reveals your loyalties. Well, things are not going well for King Uzziah. We read of Moab rebelling. Moab had been part of Israel from the days of King David. And you can see that on your map in the handout. And Moab provided a lot of wealth to Israel. And it is significant that a part of Israel is breaking away. And this was a warning to Uzziah and to future kings of Israel. You will lose the rest of the land of Israel unless you follow God. But the warning wasn't heeded. But not only is the kingdom breaking apart, Ahaziah himself is breaking apart. He has his personal calamity. He's fallen through the lattice in his window of his royal bedroom, and it's left him with serious injuries, and he questions whether he will even recover from it. Well, what would you do if you were badly hurt, if you were dying? Ahaziah, he consults Beelzebub, or tries to. Ellsworth, in his commentary, says, "We are most truly ourselves at such times of trial and painful difficulty. How we react to adversity is a wonderful measure of our nature, character, and spiritual state." So these events of Moab's rebellion and Ahaziah falling through the window, they're not simply a coincidence, but it helps us see who Ahaziah was truly trusting in. And so God uses your circumstances to get your attention. In his sovereignty, he uses your difficulties as an opportunity for you to see who you trust in, who you call out to for help. Ahaziah, he calls out to Beelzebub, the god of Ekron. Now, Ekron is in the region of Philistia, and although it's not marked on your map, it's very near Ashdod, which is on your map. And it may sound familiar to you, because when the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant, it was taken to Ekron. And the presence of the Ark of the Covenant caused the people to panic, because many people died and many others suffered from tumors. And so the God of Israel had already encountered Beelzebub and had won. And Ahaziah clearly didn't know his history. And he's calling out to this false god. Now this name, Beelzebub, it literally means Lord of the Fly. And it's believed that the writer of 1 Kings made a deliberate mistake. The original would have been Beelzebul, which means Prince of Baal. But with the change of one letter, the writer mocks Baal. Now, Ahaziah would not have mocked Baal. Instead, he turns to him to see if he indeed would survive his injuries. And it's interesting, he has to go to Ekron in Philistia to inquire of Baal. Dillard, in his commentary, suggests that Elijah has curbed the Baal cult in Israel, and that's why Ahaziah has to travel out of Israel to find out and to get Baal's attention. And it clearly took effort for Ahaziah to find out his future. And yet we see many people going to great efforts to find out what's involved in their future. Tarot cards and palm reading is very popular. Even here in Bloomington, one reviewer of a palm reader in Bloomington said this: "Just what I needed at this point in my life. I had my cards read. I was very drawn in with how much she was able to read about me, a complete stranger. She reminded me that I'm on the right path in my life and I have a lot to look forward to. Very detailed, reasonable pricing. I definitely will visit again when my soul needs it." Christians, you should not be dabbling with these practices. Even horoscopes in the newspaper should not be read. Christians are to find their guidance from God, and not from the stars or not from the turn of a card, which are all ultimately sourced in the devil's power. As well as astrology, many people, including Christians, are dabbling in mysticism and practices of other religions for help and for guidance. Instead, go straight to God. But we can also consult Beelzebub in more respectable ways. We live in the day of the expert. There are experts in every field to give us guidance. There are experts in history and science and engineering. There are experts in lifestyle, in love, and in relationships. There are experts who can interpret the body language of Prince Harry and Meghan when they present their newborn baby to find out what's really going on. Now, we do need experts in the world, but sometimes we can have a lot of confidence in people who are really only as good as the data that they have in hand. Experts can be wrong. There are many experts out there who advocate for things like abortion and euthanasia and many other practices that we know are wrong. But where do we go for medical advice? Now, in God's good providence, we have some of the best healthcare available. But our confidence, well, yes, it's in the doctor, but ultimately, our confidence is in God. That's why we pray for healing. Ryken says prayer is indispensable to every Christian health plan. Our confidence is in God. Only He is all-knowing. He is the one to consult. When we seek idols, we're saying that God cannot help or that He's not good enough to handle our problems. That's what Ahaziah is saying by going to Baal. Ahaziah should have sought counsel from God. He should have consulted Elijah. And that's why we read three times in this passage, "Is there no God in Israel that you go and inquire of Beelzebub?" God intervenes. He stops the messengers going to Ekron. He proves there is a God in Israel by them encountering Elijah the prophet. And he has a message for the king. "Tell Ahaziah that he shall not get out of his bed, but surely he will surely die." We will all be able to relate to Ahaziah. Sooner or later, we will find ourselves in our own deathbeds. Don't be consulting Beelzebub to find out if you will recover. Nor a doctor or a nurse will be able to rescue you at this stage. They will make you comfortable. No, we must be prepared for death. And what we do is trust in God. He is our Savior. He can rescue us from death. And so call out to Him. Well, thirdly, let's notice when your heart is hard, you do not hear or you do not listen to what God has to say. Ahaziah did not want a message from God. That's why he went to Beelzebub in the first place. His heart was hard to the truth. He would not trust God nor listen to what God had to say. And clearly he recognized who this man was who confronted the messengers, Elijah the Tishbite. You can imagine him saying, "Oh no, not him again." And because it was Elijah, he will not listen to Elijah's message. And instead, he tries to kill the messenger. His response was like that of his mother, who also tried to kill Elijah. And he sends an army to carry it out. Ahaziah doesn't learn from his parents, and so he would see himself that there is a God in Israel who is more powerful than him when his captain ordered Elijah down from the mountain. An army of 50 men does not frighten God. And so we see Elijah calling down fire from heaven, which consumed the men and proved again that Elijah is a prophet of God. Merida, in his commentary, says the seemingly harsh treatment of the captains and soldiers must be seen not only as judgment, but also as an act of protection. It isn't like the 50 are headed toward him because they want to bring him down to play golf with Ahaziah. Yahweh is choosing to protect his prophet. And we see that the captain calls Elijah a man of God. The captain recognized who he was. And so this was a direct confrontation, but one that would be lost by the captain and his 50 men. Ahaziah's response to the destruction of the army is not to heed it as a warning from God. Instead, he acts irrationally. He sends another army, and the same thing happens again. Does Ahaziah heed the second warning? No, he sends a third army. And it seems that Ahaziah would continue sending armies until he had no one left. And it gives us an insight into sin. Dillard says sin is not simply rebellion. It is foolish, stupid, and wrong-headed, the product of poor reasoning. Ellsworth speaks of the Ahaziah syndrome when we seek to destroy God's message because we don't like it. It goes against what we want. There are many people who have clearly seen God's power. They've understood his word and understood his word is true. But they resent it. They deny it. And often it's with devastating results. Ahaziah is so filled with anger at God that he acts completely irrationally. He's out of his mind. His heart is hardened. He wants a message from Beelzebub, but he kept hearing from Yahweh instead. And we see this today. I was reading recently about Christianity in Iran. In recent years, Christianity has grown at an exponential rate in this country. People have got frustrated with the government and with the religion of Islam that the government is pushing. And the government made it illegal to have a Bible, to have religious literature in the country. And yet, Bibles are flooding into the nation due to the demand that the people have for God's word. God's word, it cannot be stopped. Even by a government. The government's heart is hardened to God. But that doesn't stop God from speaking. Well, what about you? Is your heart hardened? Are you refusing to listen to what God has to say to you? And then finally, let's see. God again and again delays judgment to show his mercy. Ahaziah sends another 50 men. And Dale Ralph Davis, in his commentary, encourages us to imagine the look on this third captain's face when he reads Ahaziah's order to take 50 men to kill Elijah. Well, this third captain knows what is going to happen to him. He realizes the life of Elijah is not at risk. Instead, it's his life that's at risk and the lives of his 50 men. And his king is no threat to the God of Elijah. And so he fears God as a result. He shows reverence to God. He comes humbly to Elijah. He throws himself on Elijah's mercy, on God's mercy, pleading on his knees with Elijah. This is what Ahaziah should have done. He had opportunity after opportunity. And in each opportunity, God is delaying his judgment. God is showing Ahaziah mercy. Not only could he learn from his parents or the fulfillment of prophecy regarding their deaths, or the Old Testament law that he had possession of. But he would have saw that God is merciful to his father after having Naboth killed. And then there was himself falling out the window. But mercifully, he didn't fall to his death. He's on his deathbed. He has got plenty of time to think and realize that he has nothing to be proud about. His circumstances were humiliating. And then there is Elijah asking him, is there not a God in Israel? Even giving him notice of his death. And then there's a warning of fire destroying 102 of his men, as well as sparing the last 51 men, because the captain pleaded for mercy. Ahaziah saw the mercy of God again and again, but his attitude doesn't change. And so Elijah tells him his life is demanded. And it comes true. Dale Ralph Davis says, if Yahweh is severe, he is at the same time merciful. His nasty interruptions of Ahaziah's mission is, if the king could only see a last opportunity. Yahweh did not allow Ahaziah's idolatry to proceed in peace, but invaded his space, rubbed his face in the first commandment again. Again, we see our uncomfortable God. Yahweh is furious, not tolerant, holy, not reassuring, loving, not nice. But there is love in his fury. He won't let you walk the path to idolatry easily. His mercy litters the way with roadblocks. That is a wonder, considering he so detests our idols. God shows us mercy every day, but we should not presume upon God's patience, but call upon him. We don't know when his patience will run out. Ahaziah's death is a challenge that we should turn to God alone in times of trouble. There is a saying, most people never look up until they're flat on their backs. It's often not until we're sick or dying that we're forced to look up to God and cry out to him for mercy. Blaise Pascal, his prayer while he was sick is recorded, and it's a challenge for us when we find ourselves in similar circumstances. He said, Lord, whose spirit is so good and so gentle in all things, grant that I may recognize thee for my Father and my God in whatever condition I may find myself. Thou gave me health to serve thee, and I made a profane use of it. Thou snidest me sickness now to correct me. Suffer not that I use it to irritate thee by my impatience. If my heart was full of affection for the world, while it retained its vigor, destroy this vigor for my salvation and render me incapable of enjoying the world, either through weakness of body or through zeal of charity, that I may enjoy but thee alone. If Ahaziah had prayed in humility like this prayer, he would have known the mercy of God. We don't know what that mercy would have looked like. We don't know if his life would have been spared or not. But he would have at least faced death with hope. Instead, he dies in his pride. And the kingdom is handed to his brother Jehoram, while another Jehoram is king of Judah. And the prophecy that Ahab's kingdom would be removed in his son's time would be delayed to another son. Now, in this passage, we constantly read of coming down and going up. Elijah came down from the mountain, and it speaks of God coming down to speak to his people, showing his mercy to his people. God is not some lofty God who is afar from his people. No, he is a merciful God who listens to his people's cries. And he ultimately came down and took on the appearance of a man. Jesus Christ is both God and man, and he came to rescue us in his mercy. But there is an interesting episode when the religious leaders accuse Jesus of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And this is the same entity that Ahaziah had sought out. The religious leaders were, in effect, claiming to be like Elijah, charging Jesus with the sin of Ahaziah. They are saying, is there no God in Israel that you should be casting out demons in the power of Beelzebub? But they missed the fact that Jesus is the one removing the demons. Baal would not remove himself. That doesn't make sense. That's self-destructive. And so there is a God in Israel, a God who comes down, just like Elijah came down off that hill. Christ comes down himself to show us his mercy, ultimately seen in the cross. And so doesn't this give you confidence that when you call out in your trouble, you call out to God and he hears you? Now, when a child is hurt, they cry out. And most often, the only one who can console them is their mother. Sometimes the father, but normally only the mother. And the child has it right. They cry out looking for help from a trusted source who will look out for them. Likewise, you have a heavenly Father who loves to show you his mercy. And your cry should be to him. For only he is the one who can ultimately help you. So in times of trouble, cry out to God.